broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This keeps a sin flood of sadism out of your brain. Can you feel it? Can you feel it, Lou? Is it working, Lou? Is it working, Megan? Can you feel it?
I totally feel it.
Cool. And it's time for the Fiend's Beat. Gold is trading at $1,199 an ounce. Silver is at $16.50 an ounce. Bitcoin is $377. Chris Cantwell has gone full-on statist and racist over the ruling in Ferguson, and Jeff Berwick may be claiming to be mobilizing an army of hackers and assassins to protect the non-aggression principle, take over Mexico, and make it a libertarian paradise.
Wow. I could feel where I got touched by the government on that one. What in the happy Halloween are you talking about, Michael?
I don't know. Megan brought it up. What is it, Megan? What happened?
So I came across this post by Jeff. And, you know, I want to come right out and say I think it may be a little bit exaggerated. But I was a bit concerned because what happened is he got a threatening phone call and immediately summoned in kind of numerous crypto anarchists to track down this person.
So he says.
So he says, and basically implied that he hired kind of a hit squad to track this person down and kill them. Then he made some comments further on down. I think they're dead now. I think that, you know, they're, you know, you mess with my family. And, you know, so, and a lot of people were defending him. And I think that was kind of what I had a bit of an issue with was, I think in this age of technology, there's kind of no excuse to not know if a phone call is maybe coming from a scam or something. These scams are pretty common. And by using Google, you can look up these numbers and find out if they come from
and
scams.
And
eventually
the, and
that's what happens.
You can look up the scam too. I mean, you can describe the scam and see if it's a scam. Now, for those of you who don't know who Jeff Berwick is it Berwick or Berwick? Do you know?
I believe it's Berwick.
Okay. If you have no idea who this guy is, there's still a lot in this story you can take away from it. Just pretend it's, you know, we're talking about Joe Blow or some guy. It doesn't really matter who it is, but it's kind of funny because this guy's kind of a celebritarian, kind of a, you know, a lot of libertarians know who he is. He's a guy who made a bunch of money in the dot-com era in the 90s and kind of presents himself and lives as a jet-setting playboy. He's from Canada, but has a house in Acapulco where he lives with his family, his wife and kids, and his dogs, his bow tie dogs. And he says he has houses in other nations. And he's a big advocate of owning more than one passport and living outside the government regulations and, you know, a bunch of stuff that sounds really good. He's also, he and a couple other people had this project called Galt's Gulch, named after the thing in what's the book?
Atlas Shrugged.
Atlas Shrugged, where a bunch of people invested money to buy some land in what country? What socialist country in South America? Chile.
Would have been in Chile.
Yeah. So a bunch of people poured their life savings into this thing. About 30 people poured a total of about $7 million into it. And the money is suddenly missing, and maybe they don't have the water rights to it. And I'm not saying Jeff, you know, I don't think he's a scammer, but it's like he and one partner are both pointing fingers at the third partner, and the third partner is both pointing fingers at Jeff and the other guy. And it's kind of weird that, you know, even if Jeff didn't do anything wrong and the other partner didn't do anything wrong and it's all the other guy's fault, you know, Jeff was a cheerleader and got a lot of people to invest in this and said it was a great thing and people should do it. So it's kind of the biggest, like, money issue in the libertarian community right now. You know, there's $7 million that is unaccounted for. And, you know, the other guy, I read up on the other guy, the one that they're pointing the finger at and saying he has the money in a backpack somewhere. Or according to an interview that they all did, you know, an article about it that Jeff was interviewed in what's the magazine called? You know the one? They do documentaries. Vice magazine. You know, they said that that basically who knows where the money went and a bunch of people are angry. And yeah, so that's a bit about Jeff Berwick. And he does a video show called The Anarchast and does a lot of interviews. And a lot of people really like him because he's, you know, successful. Everyone wants to be a libertarian millionaire. But Jeff actually told me that he was nearly bankrupt. So I don't know what his level of bankrupt is, but I don't think you can say you're nearly bankrupt and still hire assassins and armies of hackers. And I have a lot of questions about, A, the ridiculousness of going full on, I'm going to kill this guy and mobilize my army of resources, and B, if you were going to do that, actually admitting it on the internet, and C, is it a violation of the non-aggression principle? You wanted to have that discussion. And a couple other things that are kind of weird about it. But you said there's a development, Megan. What is it?
Well, so there kind of seemed to be a little bit of inconsistencies in the story. You know, towards the end, he started saying, turns out it was just a common scam, but it's all out of my hands now. You know, basically the network's been set into motion and sorry, but it's out of my hands. You know?
You can't unring the bell of hiring assassins or something.
I guess. And then he said, never mind. It doesn't look like anything really happened. And now he's saying he thinks it's one of his Facebook friends that may have been pranking him.
Well, I unfriended him. The reason I unfriended him was you wanted to talk about this. I said, okay, this is worth talking about in a bigger picture kind of way for people listening on the radio who don't know who Jeff Berwick is. But I had to unfriend him. And here's why. I wasn't willing to talk about this by name if his Facebook profile wasn't public. You know, if it's friends only, I'd consider that like, okay, we're kind of violating his privacy. You know, so one of us had to unfriend him, and we drew straws, and I unfriended him, and I could still see everything on his Facebook page. So we decided we could go ahead with it. You know, he also, though, I've had some dealings with him, and I found out that he records every conversation he has without telling people. I found that kind of creepy, privacy-wise. You know, on Skype.
Oh.
So, yeah. I'm not saying that's a bad thing, and it might be a smart thing to do if, you know, you're doing million-dollar deals and he said, she said, but, you know, you want to have record of things. But I would like to be told when I'm being recorded by anybody.
Yeah, that's my policy, too. And especially when it comes to interviews and stuff with larger media organizations, it's a policy of mine. I would record them, but I would always tell them, listen, you know, this is just so I can put it up on my channel or something like that. And, you know, it's for
kinda
full acting, context. But
it's kind of acting like the government, I think, to record people without their knowledge. And I guess, you know, I think that saying that you have an army of assassins that the bell can't be unrung going after people, and that you have hacked, you know, I think that's kind of like a government thing too. But did he actually use the word assassins or imply it? What did he say?
No, it seemed like he implied it. It said hundreds of crypto anarchists. And what's disturbing to me is this is the exact critique that leftists have of kind of libertarian philosophy, the very kind of far end of the spectrum of it. There is this concern of people raising their private armies.
Yeah.
And so to put this out on Facebook, if it actually happened, that's really not a good example that you want to kind of uphold. You don't want people being able to hire private armies to go after people who are, you know, doing scam phone calls.
Yeah. And well, look through, do you have the thing up in front of you?
Look
through it, search the word, open it all up and search the word assassin on there. There was some implication of like, you know, whoever
did
this
is dead. Well, he was saying he had been killed. Yes. Yeah. That was said a few times. The word assassins isn't used, but he was basically like, it's out of my hands and the person is either dead or in hiding, or then it changed to maybe nothing really happened. So I am a bit confused as to the kind of whole story here.
He also said he was in Mexico City on extremely anti-government business and made some kind of like comment about collapsing the Mexican government or something. It sounds to me like delusions of grandeur. It sounds like I have the power to collapse the government and raise private armies with one phone call and track down any masked cell phone number in the world. It reminded me of people who, you know, like the cliche of the pimply faced teenager in his mother's basement, you know, gets irked by somebody on the internet playing Virgin Quest or whatever Dragon Quest game they're playing. And you know, suddenly starts quoting like, I'm a Navy SEAL and I can find you and things like that. You know, we've all seen that kind of stuff.
A couple of people actually put that quote up there, the Navy SEAL quote, if you're familiar with it. I can't repeat it on air, but it's kind of
it's I can rip out your heart and show it to you before you die without leaving my home kind of stuff. Man, it was really bizarre. And I want to explain the phone call he got. So it wasn't just hi, you're having dinner. Would you like to buy magazine subscriptions? It was a really dire thing. It was somebody called his cell phone and claimed to be his son, and he immediately recognized the voice that it wasn't his son. It was something like, I'm being kidnapped and they're going to torture me. It was someone trying to scam money. And someone in my family actually had a slightly gentler version of the same phone call. This is a common scam. My wife's father got a phone call saying that my wife's son was, and it was claiming to be him, and grandpa recognized it as not his voice. And, the voice said, "Hey, grandpa, I'm in Paris, France, and I'm in jail. I need you to wire me money for bail." And, grandpa had just talked to the son the day before. The son is in the army. He's in an army base. He knows he's not in Paris. He knows he's, in America in an army base. So, immediately recognized it as a scam. So this is a scam that happens. And I can't imagine what people... Although, when I say, I can't imagine what people would be deluded and not know, their own family member's voice. I mean, there's a really weird documentary about someone whose kid disappeared, and 9 months later, some other kid from another country appeared and claimed to be the son, and the family took him in. Have you guys heard about that?
No.
Yeah. I'll look it up. We'll be back with more on the Freedom Fiends. Fiends beat, yo. Worms.
Worms.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed: The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Freedom Fiends. So we're having a discussion about myself, MK Lords, and Lucander Fiend are having a discussion about Jeff Berwick. Berwick? I don't know. I've talked to the guy a bunch, but I've never seen it written. I mean, I've only seen it written. I've never, I'm friends with Ian MacKay from Fugazi. And at one point when I was making this documentary of him, and in the documentary, and this is in the DVD extras, I say, "What's your full name?" at the beginning of the, and this is in the outtakes on the DVD extras. And he says, "Ian Thomas, whatever, MacKay." And I says, "MacKay. Okay. I thought it was McKay." And he's like, "Really? You've known me 20 years and you don't know how to say my name?" And I said, "You've never said it to me. And a lot of people say it wrong." So I don't know. It's Jeff, Berwick. So who's a, jet setting libertarian playboy, good looking, charismatic guy who makes videos. Is that a good description? I don't know. You want to add anything to that?
If you have a German accent, it's Berwick.
Okay. All right.
If you're just American, it's Berwick. If you're Canadian, it's Berwick A.
Berwick A? Yeah. All right. So, MK, what's the development on this? You said something happened.
Oh, it was just that he thinks it's now a Facebook friend that called him. Okay.
Well, he's going to think it's me because I unfriended him, but it's not me, and I explained why I unfriended him. I would never, ever do something like this. And I think it's really creepy. And, I think that calling someone up and claiming to be their family member and having been kidnapped and being about to be tortured, I think is, I do believe in the non-aggression principle without asterisks is, but I don't even go into discussions of, is this a violation of the non-aggression principle? I'll just say this. I understand why any father would want to murder or have killed anyone who would make a call like that. But, you know,
right.
I'm guessing that a little bit of Googling could have had him find out that, like, these people are probably making 500 of these calls a day. There's probably a room full of people doing them. And, you know, it's like wanting to kill the telemarketer who bothers you during dinner, you know?
Well, and he did say that he did Google it and find out that it's a commonly used number in scams. And yeah, I did want to make the same point too. It's absolutely horrifying if you get one of these phone calls, and I can imagine it would send any parent into panic mode. And the people who do it, I mean, it's just disgusting and unsettling, and that's just a horrible thing to do to someone.
Yeah.
But you know, we have these tools now where you can verify if that's a credible threat or not.
Yeah.
You know, so well,
his first action was to call his wife and find out that she and the kid were fine. Yeah. You know, the second thing that I would do would be, you know, Google scam, phone scam where they say your family's kidnapped. And I'm going to Google that while you chat about this a little bit. So what else do you think?
So, yeah, I think it's just a little disturbing how some people were defending it without really looking more critically into the situation. And it's something that I think people should be concerned about. I think the whole, oh, well, you know, shouldn't be allowed to raise a private army thing, or that's a bad thing in and of itself, has some merit to it. I think that argument has some merit to it. And I think this kind of publicly saying stuff like that is really concerning whether or not it happened. That's another thing. It's like, why would you publicly
talk about assassinations? I also kind of think, like, you know, this guy's a businessman and, you know, has made millions in his life, but also, like, he said that the guy who he claims took all the money in the Gulch Gulch thing, like, he said the guy was a sociopath. I've never encountered a sociopath before in my life. And I'm like, really? You're a businessman in your 30s and you've never encountered a sociopath? I would be willing to bet he has, but doesn't know about it. I mean, sociopaths are, you know, believed to be something like 5 or 6% of the population. And I think a lot higher percentage of them are in high stakes business ventures. So I'm amazed that, you know,
and politics.
Yeah. So I just Googled this phrase, phone scam, where they say they've kidnapped your family. Many, many results come up. South Florida kidnapping scam rings ransom from family. We have your daughter. Family escapes losing thousands in kidnap scam. MSNBC kidnapping scam extracts a heavy price, both financial. And I'm reading these are all about hoaxes where the family, you know, the person's not kidnapped. Authorities warn of kidnap scam after arrest in Springfield. Kidnappers target OSCEOLA. Is that Florida? Escola? I don't know. Yeah. Orlando's. Yeah. Florida man falls for phone scam.
Father, Florida man returns.
I'm reading, these are like separate entries on Google. Father receives kidnapping phone call scam news. Latest scam targets parents with phony ransom demands. So Greenboro police warn of kidnapping scam. Exploit real fears with virtual kidnapping scam. Fox News, Mexico City. This is from Mexico City. New York Times, 2008. Man.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Now that the elections are over and liberty has slipped even further away, it's time to try yet another political organization. Campaign for a Longer Leash is a nonpartisan group of pups and dogs dedicated to fighting for longer leashes for all. We're not talking about no leashes, that would be catarchy. We just want the limited leash that the Hounding Fathers promised us. As Bone Barklin once said, a longer leash if you can keep it, ma'am. For more info, go to facebook.com/campaignforalongerleash.
Freedom Fiends. So, we're doing something on this show that I don't think we've ever done in over 500 episodes. And it's something that almost every libertarian show, radio show, or podcast, especially podcast, or video cast, or vlog cast, or whatever you want to call it, does all day, every day. And
we're fully dressed,
but it's something I hate about libertarian podcasts, and it makes me want to go, watch The Walking Dead instead of listening to libertarian podcasts. And that is We're going to discuss a topic and discuss, is this a violation of the non-aggression principle? So if you don't know, the non-aggression principle is the principle that libertarianism is based on. It's based on the idea that you don't initiate aggression. You don't initiate force. You don't. And I think most people also put in there, you know, no aggression, theft or fraud. And I think that's a pretty good bunch of rules to live by. It's basically the golden rule, you know, but it also, it does not prevent, you know, shooting somebody who's coming at you with a knife. That is not initiating aggression. That's preventing aggression. So we are gun people who don't want to aggress on people. And that is basically that's the common denominator with all libertarians. So I believe that if you're an ethical person, you pretty much know in your heart what's a violation of it and what's not, and you don't violate it. And you also do your best not to do it by proxy. And people do it by proxy by voting and demanding more government and more police all the time, too. You know, people who would never point a gun at people will point a gun at people through proxy by, you know, through the government, including to take away guns from people who want to protect their families. So that's aggression. So state your case, Megan.
So what this reminded me of was an article that kind of caused some arguments among libertarians called Shaming is Unjustifiable Coercion. And what it was making the case for, and a lot of leftists kind of will make this case too, is that words can be aggression. And if someone hurts your feelings, that can be a form of aggression. And it's a very kind of feelings-based argument. And what I say is that it focuses on the feelings of the person being afflicted by the words, and that it's an unjustifiable coercion. Well, coercion means being forced to do something. And it's a violation of the non-aggression principle. So if something violates the non-aggression principle, what follows is that you can meet that action with force. So I do believe that if you're being threatened, you can be threatened with words. You can be harmed. You can be forced to do something, you know, to a degree. Someone can be making credible threats of violence against you with words. What I don't think is that shaming falls into that. And what I don't think is that what happened in Jeff's situation falls into that, because it was a phone call. We have the technology to find out whether or not these are scams. And eventually he did find out that it was a scam, and that according to him, he hired an army to kill someone over this, you know, non-credible threat of violence.
So would you say that's a violation of the non-aggression principle in your reading of it?
I think he did. He violated the non-aggression principle by raising this hypothetical hundreds of crypto anarchists.
See, I
don't think that the person making the phone call, because it wasn't a credible threat, because you can use technology to verify whether or not the threat is credible. It's okay. Much different than someone being in front of you saying, I'm going to kidnap your family.
Okay, so I have a very different take on all of that. I think that the phone call was a violation of the non-aggression principle. It was trying to coerce someone with money with the threat of violence. It's I would put it on the same line of holding a toy gun that looks like a real gun to your head or your child's head and demanding money. That is definitely a violation of the non-aggression principle. You know, you have every reason to believe that's a gun to your family's head. You know, I think you would be, if somebody came up to you and pointed a toy gun that looked absolutely realistic at you and said, give me your money or I'll shoot you, you pulled out a real gun and shot them, I think that'd be justified morally. I think it would also be justified legally, for whatever that's worth, in a lot of states.
It would in Florida, yeah.
Yeah, it would in Wyoming, too. In Wyoming, they'd probably give you a medal for that. But and then somebody in Laramie would try to outlaw toy guns. But so... And then I also think that the immediate threat ended as soon as he called his family and found out his family was safe. And the fact that, you know, he knew that it wasn't his kid's voice. Although in the heat of the moment, when someone's saying like that, you know, the natural survival of the species instinct is, you're threatening my family, I'm going to find you and kill you. But as soon as you find out that's not the family, that's fake, and it's, you know, my next thing would have been, okay, you're safe, great, now I'm going to go on Google and find out if this is an actual scam. I Google scams all the time. When I get, you know, a phone call that seems wonky, I Google the number, and if I can't find it, I Google like what they're asking me for. And, you know, you can pretty much find all that stuff because people share it on the internet. And like I said, I searched scam where they say they have kidnapped your family member. I mean, dozens of news articles and mainstream news came up. It's that common. Thirdly, I would say, I think I'm agreeing with you when I'd say hiring a private army at that point is not good. Is that what you said?
Yeah. Well, and the main difference is what you know in the situation, your knowledge base and the credibility of the threat. So you don't know that the person pointing the fake gun at you has a fake gun because it looks real and it's a present threat that's immediate. Someone over the phone making a threat that you later verify is not real, it loses its credibility and you know for sure. You have certain knowledge that it's not real and it's not credible. So any action you take after that – and it's a proportionality of force thing, too. I think that kind of comes into play. You know, it is a threatening phone call. It absolutely is. But how do you counteract that threat?
When the threat's over, going after the people I don't know if I even want to say whether it's a violation of the non-aggression principle, because first of all, I don't want to be on record saying what my proportionate this or that would be. I think that's a bad idea because people have actually been brought into court in self-defense cases. You know, somebody breaks into someone's house and there's a place that doesn't have castle doctrine and the homeowner shoots the person. You know, the state, the attorney for the state, the prosecutor, in some cases has actually gone and found like blog posts or forum posts by the person where they said like, man, if anybody ever broke into my house, I'd shoot them dead. And like, you know, kind of like they've reveled in the thought of that just because people feel powerless about that. And they own a gun and they're like, you know, going into cowboy mode on the internet, like a lot of people do and saying, I'd kill the guy and I'd stomp on him and I'd shoot him 12 times just to make sure, you know, like punitive kind of sounding stuff. And that's actually been used in court to try to put a premeditation spin on someone who kills someone in the heat of a moment they've never met before who broke into their house. So I don't like to get on record with this kind of stuff, but I also do. I will say, first of all, I don't think Jeff Berwick has a private army or the ability to raise one. And if he is, if he is indeed nearly bankrupt, quote unquote, that's what he told me. You know, I mean, he might have money for a maid in Mexico, but I don't know if he has money for assassins that can travel the world and find somebody anywhere. But, and also if he does and wants to kill me for doing this, I will point out that he said in this thread, you can say whatever you want about me, but don't go after my family. And I would never say anything bad about his family. This is all about the bad choices I think he made by, and that's my final point on this is if you are raising a private army or if you are not boasting about it on Facebook when, you know, you're basically admitting to a felony is a really stupid decision for someone that's supposed to be a really smart businessman.
Let me jump in here for a minute. I'm going to play devil's advocate on this. In regards to once you find out that the threat is not really credible anymore, does that unring the bell of the threat having been made and the effect that it had on you for that 20, 30 seconds, maybe 2 minutes, or heaven forbid he wasn't able to get a hold of his wife to verify that his son was safe and it took a half hour, an hour, or 2 hours? Does that unring that bell?
Emotionally or morally?
Either one.
I don't think it unrings a bell.
Well, he also made it sound like he couldn't unring the bell. Like, you know, these are such elite assassins that once you've given the order,
That's something
from movies. I've seen that a bunch in movies, and I think it's a movie thing of, you know, where you make an order to have someone killed, and they are people who will not let you unring the bell.
No, what I'm talking about is the impact that it has on the person receiving the phone call. Once you find out that the threat is not credible, does it take away what was done to you?
No.
Because I, me personally, and maybe I'm more brutalist or super thin libertarian, I really don't have a problem with finding somebody who did this, taking out a ruler and beating them within an inch of their life.
Yeah, see, I think once you find out that the threat is no longer credible, you have to adjust your proportionality to that. And it doesn't take away the emotional damage that was done to you. But if we're talking about emotional damage as coercion, that kind of leads the door open to a lot of violence between individuals, because this is an argument that the left uses a lot. And that is hurt feelings can be counteracted with physical force. You can physically shut down speech that they deem as non-PC. And this happens at the academic level all the time with feminists trying to shut down activists who are coming out to speak because they disagree with their views, or students in general shutting down commencement speeches because they don't agree with the speaker. This does happen on, you know.
Well, I've actually seen
it. It's also false comparison, though. Because saying you're a dumb, dumb, stupid head, or you messed around with too many guys, you know, they call it slut shaming or whatever. You know, that's a heck of a lot different than saying, I have your kid. If you want your kid back, you're going to wire this money to me.
Well, you
now,
know,
I differentiate between somebody calling at dinner time and saying, hey, you want to buy a timeshare? And hey, we got your kid.
Yeah, I see a difference, too. Although some would say it's just a matter of degrees, you know, and that saying I have heard libertarians make the argument that there's no possible way the libertarian can believe that speech can be a violation of the non-aggression principle. I tend to differ because I think if the speech is backed by a gun or a weapon or the threat of violence, it's the same. It's on the same continuum as pointing a gun at you. And this was that. However, the threat was over apparently by the time he was making calls, because his first call, I think from the threat, his first call was to his wife, not to the assassins.
Yes.
And it would be pretty crazy to make the first call to the assassins before finding out, you know, if there's anything wrong with it. So, yeah, Berwick has also posted things making fun of the idea of hate speech. Like, that doesn't exist, you know, get over your feelings. But I think this is on a different continuum, maybe. But the threat's over.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Anti-war, pro-free market. That's antiwar.com.
Freedom Fiends. We do not have private armies. In fact, we don't even take advertisers, and we did not make a lot of money with our swift business skills of negotiating the financial waters. So we're just some people with a microphone, and we're trying to raise money to pay for our streaming feed, which is the 24/7 link on the Freedom Fiends site. Over on the left, there's a picture of a pretty gal with a Freedom Fiends t-shirt that says, listen, 24/7, and you click on that. That's $207 a year. It's due next week. I'd prefer to not pay it out of my pocket. So if you haven't donated in a while or ever, please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post. So, yeah, we're going to read some more about the Berwick gate, Berwick fiasco. What do you got there, MK?
So I found this kind of strange, too. He made a post about flying to Mexico City to, quote, put the final nail in the coffin of government cartels and tell them that if they don't wise up, they are over in 24 months. I just picture him kind of like waving his finger at these people like, you guys, quit with the ruckus.
Yeah, man.
That's probably kind of like marching around the government's office and waving the government's flag really hard and say, you better stop oppressing us or we're going to wave this flag even harder.
So he's going to end the cartels and the Mexican government if they don't get in line.
Yes, that's what
this guy is sounding more and more like the millionaire or former millionaire version of the, you know, pimply faced kid in his mother's basement making threats that he's a Navy SEAL. And, you know, I was thinking about it. I'm trying to get off the Cantwell topic, but If you go to his site right now, and he blocked me on Facebook, but I have a way to view block things on Facebook. So he has kind of gone full on racist and statist around this whole, I'm talking about Bearwick. I'm talking about Cantwell, not Bearwick. Cantwell has gone kind of full on racist and statist about this whole thing in Ferguson, Missouri. But, you know, I was thinking about it. Someone pointed this out to me, like Cantwell has all of the features of like the hypothetical, you know, when people get on arguments in the internet and say, you're just a blah, blah, blah. Like he's all those things. He's overweight and I'm not being fattest. I'm a plump guy. He's overweight. He lived with his mother till he was 32. You know, he goes from zero to I'm going to shoot people, you know, at things that most people would go like, oh, you're an idiot. Leave me alone. You know, he likes to make angry videos, waving guns around. I noticed that 4 months ago, Megan, you posted on his video where he's shooting an American flag to show what a man he is, shooting and burning an American flag. You made a comment about his muzzle behavior.
It was atrocious. Yeah. Well, he was swiping the cameraman. And if you watch the Colbert Report episode, he swipes the cameraman again with his revolver. It's kind of scary.
He claims he filmed that himself on a tripod. Even if that's true. No, if that's true, and I believe that might be true. If that's true, he still muzzle sweeps himself and downtown. Yes. And downtown Keene, like the shopping district where people take their kids during the day, you know, to go shop. So.
Well, he owns himself so he can muzzle sweep himself all he wants.
I would like him to do it more. I'm kidding. I don't want him to shoot himself. But I have started calling him Cheddar Bob after the character in 8 Mile who waves a gun around like a cowboy and then shoots himself in the foot.
You got to be very careful with guns.
I thought you were going to say, you got to be careful with what you say about Cantwell. And I'm like, why?
Oh, no. You got to be careful about guns.
And what army? Jeff Bearwick's army? Okay.
Hundreds of crypto anarchists.
Besides, Cantwell is on record saying that words cannot be considered aggression and that he is absolute about the non-aggression principle. So he would be violating his ethics to do anything to anybody who says anything bad about him. And he kind of like encourages trolling because it brings traffic to his websites and he gets a nickel every 1,000 times someone clicks on a Viagra ad on his site or something. So, all right. So, read this thing. Now, this is a cut and paste thing that people do to mock people on the internet who make bold claims about having private armies and toppling governments and cartels. Read it. Can you read it really quick while we're going to break?
It's pretty long, but it's right. I'll get a room and come back.
All right. Cool.
Edit it down.
Freedom fiends.
Worms.
Kicking the libertarian gods. Just a little bit. We don't want to knock them down. We just want to snip their tail a little bit when their tail gets too long and wags in everyone's face. That's kind of what the Freedom Fiends has become. I would like to get back to other things, but people keep doing crazy stuff. I said I wasn't going to go after any libertarians by name unless they did something crazy, and two of them have done something kind of loony and nutty, and look at me, I've got powers. I've got an army of snowmen. All right. In Acapulco, we'll be back on Freedom Fiends.
Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges. Yeah!
This is Davi Barker from shinybadges.com, and I just want to personally apologize for airing a jingle week after week, month after month, that turned out to be such an infectious brain worm. So to make it up to you, I'm offering a free gift. The next time you make a purchase at shinybadges.com, write WORMS in the transaction comments, and I'll send you something weird.
Do you believe in free speech? Jay Raven had her True Shives YouTube channel taken down. We believe this censorship was wrong, and we believe the channel is a clear example of free speech. Many people are bullied on the internet, but Jay Raven actually stood up to the bullying. She has filed a self-defense lawsuit against the individuals who took down the channel. The outcome of this suit could be very important to the future of free speech. Learn more at TrueShibes.com. That's Tango, Romeo, Uniform, Sierra, Hotel, India, Bravo, Echo, Sierra.com. TrueShibes.com.
Yeah. This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting through the Libertarian Reindoctrination Center's low orbit ion cannon.
high atop Financial Beast Plaza on the artificial satellite LivePair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. I am your host, Mr. Michael W. Dean, and we also have the hosts, Lou Sander Fien. Are you there, Lou?
Yo, yo, yo.
And MK Lords. Are you there?
Yeah.
Cool. You can get a little louder now. You were too loud before, and we moved you back from your mic, and this is a teaching hospital, so go ahead. Give me a sound check there, Megan.
Hello, hello, hello. Yeah. Sound check.
That's better. That's better. Yeah. So a couple funny things. Let's see. Crazy Rich made this great meme that I really like. He's this talented Photoshopping guy, Fiend fan who listens, I think, every day. And all of a sudden, we'll just start getting these memes posted on Facebook that mention things that were said in the Freedom Fiends on the previous day. And he made an awesome one. And I know Davy Barker says you should never do visual humor on the radio, but I'm going to do it anyway. I made some comment yesterday or the day before about, you know, it was something about like the splintering in a good way of like narrow concepts of different kinds of talk radio. And I said something about, you know, if you have the fly fishing show or the Maserati repair show or the fly fishing and Maserati repair show. And he made a meme that's some kind of like rural looking guy with a fishing hat on holding a giant salmon, I think it is, out in the wilderness on the desert in front of a Maserati. And it says, I don't know what them fiends is talking about, but here is one big butt fish. And then it says, Darren McCabe, proud Pennsylvanian and host of the fly fishing and Maserati repair talk radio show. I like it. I approve of that. So another humorous thing is Libertarians Against Humanity, which is Jim Jesus's, card game, and you can go to libertariansagainsthumanity.com and find out how to get actual physical cards. But he made a card during this show based on this show. And the way that Libertarians Against Humanity works is, you know, you have a challenge card and a challenge card deck and a response card deck. It's actually the same deck, but there's black cards and white cards. So the black cards are the challenges, and then people take turns giving a response card that's humorous with it. You know, like the challenge card might be, we can get to a libertarian paradise by having blank, or, you know, without the government, who would build the blank? It's often like things that statists make fun of libertarians about. So let me read a response card from the not a full deck that I have that he sent me from the full deck he got as samples from the Hong Kong Libertarian Paradise company that makes them for him. Let me just pull one out here. The new card that he made. Okay, here's one. Via the blockchain is the challenge. So sending a legion of hackers and assassins because of a Nigerian money scam call via the blockchain. So Berwick's got his own card now. And, you know, you're really nobody until you've got a card based on you in Libertarians Against Humanity. And Jeff Berwick is a somebody in Liberty, although somebody that it's getting harder and harder to take seriously when he is making bizarre threats on the internet to anonymous people that he can't see and sending legions of hackers and assassins after them and unable to call those people back once they've been deployed, and saying that he's going to take down the cartels and end the Mexican government and create a libertarian paradise, you know, and which is bizarre to me because he tried to create a libertarian paradise by getting people to contribute money and buy property, which seems like the way you would do it. It seems like the way that it could be done. And that didn't work out so well. So plan B, I guess, is something out of like Game of Thrones or something. So
read this. Become the Navy SEAL.
Yeah, become a Navy SEAL. So there's this thing that people post at people online. Oh, also there was somebody who made a really like basically said to him, like, I don't believe you that you have the power to amass armies and, you know, send them on a whim. And Berwick accused the guy of having had a bad childhood, which is something his buddy Stefan Molyneux sure does a lot, is, you know, you don't agree with me, you must have had a bad childhood. So the Navy SEAL thing is a cut and paste that people, I think it's something that somebody probably pasted once, wrote once for real, and people just cut and paste it as a joke when yes. People are claiming to have magical powers on the internet. So will you please read if you can clean it up on the fly and make it radio friendly? What do we got here? This is the famous Navy SEAL post.
Yeah, this is the Navy SEAL meme.
And somebody posted this.
If you see this posted, know that someone's messing with you.
And making funny. Somebody posted this at Bearwick as a response. So go ahead.
Yeah, this was posted at him. And, you know, this isn't specific to Jeff. Like, it's a lot of people kind of, you know, Cantwell. Do this. So what did you just say about me, you little brat? I'll have you know I graduated top of my class in the Navy SEALs, and I've been involved in numerous secret raids on Al-Qaeda, and I have over 300 confirmed kills. I am trained in guerrilla, spelled incorrectly, warfare, and I'm the top sniper in the entire U.S. Armed Forces. You're nothing to me but another target. You think you can get away with saying that on the internet? Think again. As we speak, I'm contacting my secret network of spies across the USA, and your IP is being traced right now, so you better you better prepare for the storm, maggot. The storm that wipes out the pathetic little thing you call your life. You're dead, kid. I can be anywhere, anytime, and I can kill you in over 700 ways, and that's just with my bare hands. And it goes on, and there's a lot more profanity in it.
Kind of how Bearwick sounded in this thing. Yeah.
Right. That's kind of the joke is like, it's a little excessive, you know, sounding a little excessive there.
Yeah. Well, time will tell, you know, people who claim to have special powers. He also said like, you'll hear about this on CNN. Now he has been on mainstream media and he touts the fact that he was on Bloomberg Financial News a few years ago, but he was on there talking about Galt's Gulch. And basically when it's over, they make fun of him. They're like, boy, with these nutty libertarians and their magical internet money, they're going to buy, you know, land in South America and live free of the government. Yeah, that'll work. Like, they're making fun of it. And at the time, you certainly could have said, oh, those are just the mainstream media not understanding Bitcoin and, you know, the power of a lot of libertarians working together. But, you know, those people could definitely look at what's happened with Galt's Gulch so far and still laugh at it. You know, it's kind of sad, too, because somebody has $7 million of money that belonged to, you know, 30 or so investors. And Bearwick has said on record on the Freedom Fiends that he intends to pay it back if it takes him the rest of his life. So, I mean, that's not a legal promise. And it's good that he actually addressed it. Whereas, you know, people like Stefan Molyneux sometimes don't address any of the things that they're accused of and they just pretend it'll go away. I hope that the people get their money back from that. I heard about the thing years ago, you know, when it was first announced, didn't know anything about Bearwick, didn't know any of the players, didn't know that the guy that Bearwick is saying took the money was ran for governor or sheriff in some county in New Hampshire and said that if elected, he would arrest people performing or receiving abortions, even though abortion's legal in the state. So that's kind of nutty. But
let me jump in here. I would have really have liked to have seen Galt's Gulch work out and just rub the nose of the status in the dirt over it. Because what really happened was, I don't know all the details on it, but basically the project is bust. The money's disappeared. Nobody knows where it went to. And it just shows that it's like a government project.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, when I first heard about it, before I knew anything about any of the players in it, I was like, that sounds like a bad idea. And it wasn't because I thought the money would disappear. My thought was Chile is a socialist country. And like 20 years ago or something, you know, they were run by someone who was pretty much like Hitler, you know, Pinochet. He was murdering his enemies and murdering, you know, anybody who disagreed with his plan. But it's also still a socialist country, and socialist countries, particularly in South America, tend to do things like nationalize some industry overnight. You know, I think what would have happened likely if the money hadn't disappeared is they would have built this thing up, made it into a libertarian paradise, and the government would have said, okay, thank you, now get out, you know, and made it into like a resort for, you know, middle-level government officials or something.
Well, shortly after the project was announced and was really getting a lot of hype, they had an election down there, and the person that was elected president was also a former president, but they can't do like multi-consecutive terms. So anyway, she got reelected. She's like full-on socialist.
Yeah.
So as soon as I saw that, the first thing that popped in my mind is, oh, okay, yeah, what's going to happen with this, you know, beautiful libertarian paradise? Are they going to exercise eminent domain and nationalize it?
Yeah.
It was just like being in America.
Yeah.
That's a huge concern.
So we got some good news here. Lou, you got anything good? I'm getting bummed out about people losing all their money.
Okay, you want to hear about the Free Rangers event?
Yeah. What is the Free Rangers and how can people find it?
Okay, Free Rangers is an unscouting project, kind of like unschooling, where people get their education without having to go to school, and they learn things on their own, or they might have little groups set up to where they can get classes and things like that. Free Rangers follows the same idea. It's a decentralized scouting experience, but without all the statism, militarism, uniforms, overpriced popcorn sales. It's going out and learning the survival skills, and there's probably going to be a whole lot of more modern stuff put in, like Bitcoin 101. Who knows?
Hey, what would the three R's be? I'm sure one would be riflemanship, but what would the three R's be for scouting?
Well, definitely riflemanship and two other words.
Rafting. But,
rafting. and so I guess I just leaves one other R word. But anyway, so I taught a class, and it was improvised fire starting. So I started out with teaching the kids about safety, and there was a fairly decent turnout. There were about 15 people there, give or take, especially on a very cold, windy day that looked like it was going to rain cats and dogs. But started out with safety and let them know, how to – not set the forest on fire and burn everything down. And then I showed them, how to use a cotton ball and a flint striker to, get the little fire going. Cause if you don't have matches or something like that. And, it went pretty good. Some of the smaller kids were having trouble with the flint striker, but most of the people got it pretty good. And then I, built a little fire in the barbecue pit, as well as made an improvised rocket stove out of some building bricks.
Nice.
That's awesome.
What's the website?
That is freerangers.org. Free-rangers.org.
Okay. I'll put that in the show notes. Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Having outgrown childish libertarian fantasies, I now believe in worms! What is Libertarians Against Humanity? It's the only unofficial Cards Against Humanity expansion pack by libertarians, for libertarians, and against libertarians. Libertarians Against Humanity is free to play online, or join the Indiegogo campaign to get physical copies and other perks to play with friends or statists you haven't defued yet. Because if we don't laugh, the statists win.
Not recommended for faint heart, thin skins, or those who easily rustle jimmies. Consult a physician if you experience dropping blood pressure or laughter lasts longer than 4 hours.
That's libertariansagainsthumanity.com.
Freedom Fiends. So we're talking about the Free Rangers, which is a unscouting experience that Lou is involved in. So Lou, do you teach the young Pork Scouts in, are they called Pork Scouts?
Free Rangers.
Okay. Do you teach the Free Rangers, these children, how to amass private armies to go after people who make crank phone calls?
As a matter of fact, we do. Private armies are a very important thing to the libertarian world. And it starts out with a lesson in economics, where we explain that private armies are very hard to maintain. They're very expensive to maintain. And the best way to do that is if you're a politically connected corporation like United Fruit or Standard Oil, it's best to subsidize or socialize the cost of it to all the tax cattle on the tax farm rather than spending the money out of your own pocket. Because if you do spend the money out of your own pocket just for revenge or to mess with somebody, that money's gone. And if you do it in conquest and you spend more than you get, it's actually a net loss. So the socialism of militarism and statism is what solves that problem for you.
So you don't actually teach them that that is what they should do, but how the world works.
Right.
And as a negative example to work away from.
Yeah. And then they generally say, well, why would I spend my own money on that? So anyway, there've been two meetups in my area here with the Huron River area. Free Rangers.
In Michigan.
Yeah. Yeah, Michigan. The first class was land navigation, learning how to shoot an azimuth with a compass, read a topographical map, read a road map, things like that, marking out distance through paces, because normal adults do a 30-inch step, so you figure that's 6 inches short of a yard, and you can do a little creative mathematics to get your distance and come fairly close. And I'm really old school. I don't have a GPS device, and when I go hunting and fishing and hiking out in the woods, I do use a compass still. Reason for that is batteries can die on a GPS device, or if you're using a cell phone app for GPS or something like that, if your batteries die there or if you're not getting a signal, then it's probably not going to work out so well. And I find that the compass is always a great fallback. So that's the reason of teaching to use a compass and read a map, because the modern conveniences are really nice, but when they don't work, they're not worth a hoot.
Yeah, Boston.
That's a really good point.
Boston Tea Party is very against. Well, when he does rifle training and in his books, he recommends against things like laser sights and even scopes, like basically recommends against any rifle where you can't take the scope off and use it with iron sights, because, or use it, you know, with iron sights anyway, because, you know, scopes can fog, they can, the glass can break, any number of things can happen. You want to have the least impediments as possible against you being able to shoot the weapon when you need to. The same thing with smart guns. He said that, you know, technology can fail, computers crash, any gun with a computer in it is not worth having, defending your life on, even if it only fails 1 out of 1,000 times. He says that guns should only rely on Newtonian physics.
Yeah,
I find myself.
Go ahead, MK. You had questions, follow up about the Pork Scout or the Free Rangers?
Well, yeah, I was just gonna say I find myself too reliant on technology sometimes, and a lot of younger generations are very technologically savvy, but that can be an impediment some way. So what are some other things that you teach the kids, Lou? What are some general skills do you think need to be taught to kids?
Well, this is a brand new venture. It literally started just a couple of months ago, and it was born out of somebody posting on Facebook, hey, what would you think of of something that was like the Boy Scouts but wasn't so statist? And within probably a few hours, there were Facebook pages up, there were groups formed, Google documents posted, a website, and the whole nine yards. So there was certainly a demand for it. There's going to be a lot of fun stuff in there, I think. In the springtime, I'll probably teach about fishing, how to tie a hook on a line, how to improvise a fishing rod out in the wild by taking a nice flexible branch and putting some line on the end of it. A lot of people, if they have like a survival pack for when they're backpacking, they'll have fishing line and a couple hooks in there. And you can actually make some high-tech lines out of a branch or a small branch that you take off of a tree.
Wow.
Awesome.
Yeah. There'll probably be maybe some different cooking classes for while you're out camping. And it's meant to be fun. So I guess I would call it more edutainment than just beating them down. You must learn how to cook with cast iron cookware, or you must learn how to read a compass. So, and the one thing that I noticed, because like the first event that we had when the weather was really nice, there was a really big turnout. The kids had a blast. The parents were happy with it because it didn't have all the stuff that goes along with the normal status type things.
Excellent. And that's free-rangers.org. Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Hey, there's some Squisklar Squig Elves from Death Clocks, and you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now, so there you go.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech as hate speech, guns and weed, buy sheep for sheep on sheep, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 5 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Freedom Fiends. So, I want to hip our listeners to something really cool that one of our co-hosts did. Diana Kyler is now recording audio articles for the Mises Institute, which is a really good academic, libertarian, long-running institute. And she did one, and she's doing some more, and she's going to do some more after that. So I'm going to link her reading David Gordon's article. It's a 7-minute thing. It's pretty quick, but it sounds great, and it's Diana reading it. It is her reading David Gordon's article, Rothbard on Self-Defense and War, for Mises Institute. And it's a great article mulling on the question of, well, I can see getting the government out of everything except, you know, defending the nation or defending a large geographic area. And it addresses in 7 minutes why you don't need a government to defend the safety of everybody in a geographic region. And it's interesting, too, because David Gordon, he's a OG libertarian, you know, original gangsta, one of the people from back in the day. And he's a really smart guy. He's also known recently as the person who called, who said when he was talking about how he had criticized Stefan Molyneux, and all Molyneux's fans kept saying, why don't you debate him? Why don't you debate him? And he said, I would no sooner debate a clown than debate Stefan Molyneux. And somebody... that was in an interview with Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker. Somebody put up the audio of that as a video on YouTube, and then somebody else made a response, which was a parody of how Molyneux might respond to that. And I don't know, somebody has suggested that the person who voices that might sound a lot like me, but you could say that, but I couldn't possibly comment. So, you know, that it might sound like me doing a British accent or something, but I don't know. I see nothing, man. So, speaking of spoken things and talking and spoken audio, Lou has been listening to conservative talk radio lately. And I'm sorry, Lou, but do you want to talk about it?
Yes, it was a very horrible, just filthy experience. I was out deer hunting early this morning and I drove. I saw a couple squirrels running around, but no. Now, I will say this. After my phone died from playing on FaceSpace for an hour or two, I really started paying attention, and I was a very serious deer hunter for once.
You go on Facebook while you're deer hunting?
Yeah, I imagine that the unprofessional hunter, the unprofessional hunter deer harvest ratio has dropped significantly with electronic devices. Yeah. No, actually, I was trying to convert a statist, but. And I think I made some progress.
No, you were talking to Stilfs, statists you'd like to Facebook, right? Are you still doing
no.
that?
No. Oh, okay. No. Okay. Yeah, I am, but no, I wasn't.
Did you hear our episode where we talked about that MEOW can be an acronym for the moral equivalent of war, but it could also be an acronym for men enjoying older women?
I think I was on that episode.
But no, anyway. I don't think you were. I think you were the topic of that episode. I think it was MK that came up with that acronym.
Oh, okay.
It was Davi, actually.
Meow. Okay. Well, anyway, at any rate, I'm out in the middle of nowhere, and I wasn't getting my regular radio reception, and the stuff that was available out there was not quite as cool as the fly fishing and Maserati do-it-yourself repair podcast. So I turned on the AM conservative talk radio. I just wanted to hear what they were talking about. It was really disgusting. It was a full-blown state-baiting defense of police and violence.
Yeah, kind of like Chris Cantwell. Yeah.
I don't know. I haven't heard what Cantwell has had to say on the subject. Anyhow, now, I do have to admit that the Michael Brown situation is murky at best.
Yeah.
As far as the evidence goes, it's kind of hard to say that he's a good guy and completely innocent and all that other nonsense. I don't think he was. I don't think that he's a good guy, and I really don't think that he's the type of person that people should put all their chips on and rally behind him. I mean, there's probably a lot of people out there that would make better battle cries, so to speak. But my problem is with the overall use of police force, the militarization, the constant revenue generation, the no-knock raids, the flashbang grenades in babies' cribs. And incidentally, there's another story, because we talked about the one before that happened in Georgia. In April, there was one that happened out in California, and I guess the mother had told the cops that her baby was in the room before they kicked the door and threw the flashbang in, and they still did it.
Yeah.
So when you ignore all the stuff that goes on with the increase in the police state, and incidentally, there's a article, and it's in the Salt Lake Tribune, and the title of it is Killings by Utah Police Outpacing Gang, Drug, Child Abuse Homicides. Ugh. So if your leading cause of, or one of your leading causes of death is people that are supposed to serve and protect, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
The only group that they didn't surpass as far as homicide goes, I believe, was domestic violence or intimate violence. Wow. Intimate, domestic, basically the same thing.
Yeah. Man, government gone awry and amok. Although,
It's government gone government. Yeah. It's the logical conclusion.
Thank you.
Then also, let's look at the stuff that's going on in Albuquerque. I guess even the Department of Preventing Justice has been investigating them due to their high number of lethal force homicides, or whatever you want to call it. And I think they're probably most famous for, at least recently, the homeless man that was killed by a tactical team. It looked like a bunch of overweight ex-Rangers. And by the way, it was videoed on helmet cam. So body cam. If you think body cams are going to stop cops from killing people, you're wrong. It's just going to be the new YouTube sensation. But anyway,
the new public executions, and it'll end up on pay-per-view.
Probably. Anyway, this horrible terrorist that was killed, he was committing the horrible crime of being homeless and camping out on state land, also known as unowned property.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they shot him. I think they shot some beanbag rounds at him also. I think they threw a flashbang. I don't know if they used tear gas. And then they sicked the dog on him after he got shot.
Man.
Because that's appropriate.
Because camping.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
I really have a problem with this massive use of force. If somebody's robbing a liquor store, and somebody goes in there, and I don't care if it's a cop or a off-duty gangbanger, if they shoot the guy because they have a desire to survive, and he's actually committing a serious act of aggression like that, I don't have a problem with him being plugged.
Yeah.
Not one bit. So, but yeah, it's just really nauseating. And basically the radio today, and I actually left it on the entire day, because when I came home, I was listening to it. And then when I went down to get some kielbasas for Thanksgiving dinner, I left it on. And everybody that I heard was just going nuts, defending the cops and blowing everything out of proportion. Rush Limbaugh was calling it the Democrats' fault. Michael Savage was calling it, you know, racism or reverse racism, and trying to blame everything on race. And it's not about black versus white or white versus black. I'm sorry to say, it's about white versus you. These guys are kicking in doors, for you conservatives out there that are listening. These guys are kicking in doors to take marijuana. You know, they're going to kick in your door to take your guns soon enough.
Yeah.
And I used to hate listen to NPR, and they do a much better job of being calm, but also making the completely worst arguments. But conservative radio is a lot more aggressive. They're a lot more angry about issues, but it's a lot of misplaced anger. You know, they're angry about the stuff that's actually not happening versus things like the growing police state, which are, yeah, it's evident. I mean, try to find a positive cop video on YouTube. It's very difficult.
It's made by a police department if you find one.
Yeah.
One of the interesting things is on the local programming, they were taking calls, and the host was asking a caller, well, what's your solution to this, to the protesting? And the conservative caller says, well, they need to rope off areas. You know, what? You mean like free speech zones?
Yeah.
You mean like the right to assemble and demonstrate and redress grievances can only happen in a certain place? And these clowns call themselves constitutionalists?
Well, they have them at the RNC, RNC meetings and stuff. I mean, they have free speech zones, and same with the DNC too. Whenever there are these large political meetings, both of them do the roping off and to the free speech zone thing.
Because I mean, even the North Korean Constitution guarantees the right to assemble and demonstrate in free speech. And obvious, Chapter 5, Article 67 of the North Korean Constitution guarantees the right to free speech, political process, and the whole nine yards. I mean, it's almost a repeat of the First Amendment, except in different wording. So obviously, the communists here in America have quite a bit in common with the communists over in North Korea.
Didn't North Korea make a statement about the Michael Brown situation? I think
they make statements from time to time, like saying, look at America, black people aren't safe there, this is how America treats people, things like that.
Yeah, they're saying Ferguson was a disgrace and the United States is now the laughingstock of the world.
Now, I don't think Brown was targeted because of his color, because of hatred of blacks. I think that because blacks are more likely to submit, less likely to file complaints, and less likely to be taken seriously when they do complain, I think that makes them easier targets. So it's kind of like the lion that goes for the wounded gazelle versus the healthy gazelle, because that's how predators are. And cops, sorry to say it, they're predators. And this comes from somebody who used to actually support the police.
Yeah.
I used to be a statist and a neocon.
I'm sorry. I was a neocon for about 2 weeks on my journey from Democrat to 2 weeks of being a Republican to, a few months of being a Ron Paulite to talking to Nima Vedati in my home every night while working on the Guns and Weed, the Road to Freedom movie. And you can't stay a statist if you're sitting in the same room with Nima Vedati. He makes it look too good to be a no government man, to be a there's a word that Davi Barker came up with that I really like a lot. It's bureaucrat.
Hey, here's one for you for how statist and how neocon I was. I actually used these words several times. I think that the U.S. military is a great way to impose our will on other countries around the world.
Oh. Wow.
Bless me, Father, for I have sinned.
We'll
so now I must atone for my sins.
We'll be back with the redemption in the third act after this trip to the free market.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most of our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Michael Dean, Freedom Fiend. So the redemption in the third act. MK Lourdes is going to talk briefly about her journey from lover of the state and leftist to full-on capitalist who wants government to be so small it's theorized about by particle physicists. And you've heard my story a few dozen times, and I think you've heard Lou's a couple times, and MK is new. So go ahead and tell us, please, Megan.
Forgive me, anti-statist, for I've sinned. How long has it been
since your last confession of that you used to love the state?
Oh, it's been years now. So I started out as a socialist. I was doing it mostly to be edgy. I know, ew. So I come from a really right-wing military town. And, I like to be a little controversial when I was a teen.
I got to interject. I just got an email that says, good day and God bless you. My name is Miss Patricia Wagner. I'm a merchant in Dubai. I have cancer and I have $12 million US that I need to get to you. I think I'm going to send a private army to, because I know she's faking, man.
Send a virtual army of hackers.
All right. So go ahead. Sorry to interrupt your good story here. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I kind of backlashed into socialism. I kind of got into anti-war activism during the Bush years. And slowly but surely, I realized that all of the liberals Democratic are candidates idiots. Were awful. Yeah, just really, really awful. I disagree with a lot of the direction things were going with, and especially after the 2008 election. So I kind of made my way over to kind of Ron Paul Republicanism, libertarianism. I kind of was a left libertarian for a while, and I've been a right libertarian. I've been an ANCAP, an agorist. I don't really use the term capitalist so much now. I'm not anti-capitalist, though. I just I'm abolitionist.
There's a lot of baggage with the word capitalist.
There is.
Because most people conflate it with corporatism or capitalism, which is capitalism where you're in bed with the government and they choose the winners and losers.
Right. So, you know, I'm pro free markets and I'm pro freedom and pro leaving people alone. So I didn't used to be that way. I used to be a huge, like, there ought to be a law. You know, you can't just, you know, there ought to be a law for this. There ought to be a law for that. We should control guns, stuff like that. But now I carry every day just about, you know, I've pretty much gotten over a lot of the leftist
stuff.
Carry
a gun.
I do.
Yeah.
Yes, I carry a gun. So I was totally in the opposite
people.
Direction.
That probably would be shocking to the people that you used to hang out with.
You know, yeah, it was a little surprising to them. You know, I went through a stage where I was a little, you know, a little too right wing, I felt like, but I feel more balanced now. I'm somewhere in the middle. I don't really think of myself as right or left. I used to be far left. So a lot of my libertarian friends kind of come from the far right. So I like hearing their stories because I don't quite understand that perspective as much. So it was really refreshing to see how we can kind of come around to very similar views from very different paths.
What say you, Lou?
Well, I've told my story before, so I guess to throw a little redemption in there, I'd like to give a little advice or suggestion to the conservatives out there. First, I'm going to start with the leftists. It's not just about black, it's about predation. And for people to race bait and go and burn down private property, destroy private property, that's not an answer. Sorry to say this, but you're burning the wrong buildings. And if you want to destroy private property and be considered heroes, maybe you should throw tea in a harbor. You'll have a political movement named after you someday. And ironically, it's the Tea Party folks that are condemning the destruction of private property the loudest. So that's really kind of contradictory. But anyway, to our conservative friends out there, with this constant militarization, with this constant use of force, with this constant flashbang grenades in babies' cribs, with this constant people getting hassled for raw milk, for backyard chickens, for the type of pigs that you have on your farm, for what you can grow in your front yard, that is the result of somebody saying there ought to be a law, the government should go in and control people. And let me close out with my Frederick Douglass quote: no man can put a chain about the ankle of his fellow man without at last finding the other end fastened about his own neck.
Word. And I hate to say it, but we are living in a world where I have to say that when you said you're burning the wrong buildings, we're not saying there are other buildings you should be burning instead. Violence and property destruction is not the answer, and you don't want to act like the government. So quit acting like the government, people who act like the government. And I'm going to go raise my private army of snowmen and sarcophagi to battle evil in the world. Thanks, guys. It's been a good show. Thanks, Megan. Thanks, Lou. Worms.
Thank you, Worms.
I enjoyed being had.
Thank you for your service. Thank you for being here.
Yes.
Nice having you, Worms.